You'll see tonight. So, I want to welcome the new people. If you like, what? Other than that, oh, pass the dollar. Oh, you can put more than a dollar. Pass the basket. And Jimmy.
Also, there's a lot of people that use this room, so remember we are self-cleaning. If you're unable to finish your liquid in your cup, take it down the hallway to the sink and dump that out first, please. And try to help up clean up the coffee stuff if you spill it. A lot of people use this room.
Thanks, Jimmy. We have a lot of some new people here tonight, so we'll try to make it relevant. If you're new or old in the program, where we are, we're on the second page of this handout, and this is about step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory. When we're wrong, probably admitted it, and step 11. Seeking to improve conscious contact with God. We ask only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry this out. So we started, we'll start at the top of the page, and I'll try to leave time so that we can have some discussion. Step 10 is not a new step. In a new way, it's a summary of all the steps that have come before. Step 10 is how we continue to grow and how we continue to live. So living one day at a time, you'll hear that, we live one day at a time. How we do that successfully is by practicing step 10 and 11 every day. And so if you're new, the idea is find somebody who's done the deal in this book and will go through the instructions in this book, because when you get to step 10, then you can face each day and you have tools to live each day. And it says it's a way to live. If we want to remain sober, we have to continue to grow. We can't just maintain. And why is that? It's because alcohol is a mortal foe. It's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And we have to stay spiritually fit to react normally to alcohol. If you're new, our problem is that I can't keep from drinking on my own power. I need a power that will keep me from doing that. And if I stay in fit spiritual condition, my power will tell me bad idea. And so it'll also tell me when I'm angry, bad idea, Michael. And when I'm afraid, bad idea, Michael. And when I'm practicing my character defects. And I hear that a lot, because we all do that. It's a way we remain sober, we grow. Step 7:11 says we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And he says we must take this not to mean a static, unchanging condition. He talks about the maintenance steps. We went through this last week. It's not maintenance. We're trying to stay in fit condition. Now, I watched World Cup soccer today. Anybody watch that? Now, those guys are in fit spiritual condition. They ran around for like 110 minutes. And then they kicked 5 times. I don't understand that. And so anyway, those guys are in great shape, right? Now, if they stop practicing and stop working out, they're going to lose their fitness very quickly. And we have to stay very fit if we're going to battle alcoholism. And we can't rest on our laurels and say, you know, I'm doing good. I have 90 days out of a year. That kind of thinking is dangerous for us. We have to stay connected to God all the time or we have no power to live. And it says, everything in nature either grows or withers. If we don't continue to grow spiritually in our sobriety, we're going to get worse. It says, when a person starts working step 10, he learns more. What does he mean by this? He means all day long you're learning how to react differently than you did before. The instructions in the big book says, you watch all day long for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. Those are the characteristics when I'm separated from God. I'm angry, I'm fearful, I'm thinking about myself all the time, I'm inconsiderate. And we watch for that, and we ask God at once to take that away. So we're practicing a way to go every minute throughout the day and stay out of our self-centered alcoholism. And it works as you practice it. You start to learn very quickly when you're off the beam. And you learn how to get back to God very quickly. Now, if you're new, what we're telling you is if you do the steps, you're going to get to a point where you can react differently than you've been reacting. And the results of your life will change, and it'll get better. He says, He says that he thinks that when you should start sponsoring other people. Now, it doesn't say how long you have to take before you sponsor somebody. You can work the steps very quickly. In the beginning of AA, they work the steps very quickly. And you can become a good sponsor. And a sponsor here is somebody who's worked the steps. And most people who don't sponsor in their first year of sobriety never sponsor. That may be true. And he says, think sponsorship should begin. And remember, if you're not sponsoring somebody, you're not continuing to grow and work the program. The thing that helps me the most is working with someone else, because I keep doing it all the time. We keep going through the steps, and I find more about myself, and I see more. And also, it gets me out of me, and it gets me focused on my relationship with God. And it says, when you're fresh off the steps, you have a new experience to share. If we wait around, we may forget how we accomplished it. So one of the things in picking a sponsor, you should find somebody who's, according to this and what I believe, who's worked the steps, especially out of the book, and can show you what they did so that you can do it. It says, we don't get any growth following step one. Step one is where I admit I'm completely defeated. I'm powerless over alcohol. I'm an alcoholic. Alcohol changes the way I feel. I have no power over it. When I feel bad, my mind says, get a drink. And I have no power not to drink. That's a bad situation. And the other thing that's bad is that being an alcoholic, if I put alcohol in my body, bad things happen. And then my life is unmanageable. Now, what can I manage sober that's going to kill me? On my own, I can't manage the decision not to drink. So that's one way my life's unmanageable. The other way my life is unmanageable is that sober without God, I run the show, I'm in conflict with everybody, and the play doesn't go off right. And so the first step is a step that you admit from your experience. I can't tell you to take your first step. You have to decide if you're powerless over alcohol, if your life's unmanageable. Hint, if you're here, things probably weren't going very well, and you may want to look at the first step. And the first step is critical. And then we talk about powerless. And a lot of people say, I'm powerless, but in the back of their mind, they still think they got a little power. The powerless we're talking about in AA is 100%, maybe 101%. The analogy I thought about is, I said yesterday, you're powerless if you're trying to push a car that's parked. Right? But alcoholics think it's in neutral. And if they keep pushing it harder and harder, they'll get it to move a few feet. And it's in park. It's not going anywhere. Complete powerless. I heard somebody say that they were getting 90% powerless. But I was thinking about, I was a cancer doctor. You know, if you have only a little cancer, it's going to grow. And it's going to kill you. And if you have a little bit of not powerlessness, it's going to kill you. It has to be complete defeat. And what I see, and I probably did it myself, you come in here, things are bad, and then they get a little bit better. So you get less desperate. You know, and then you stop coming. And then you're lost. So I want to keep that complete defeat. Now, step two is where you believe that there's hope. If you're new here, look around the room. Look how many people are here. There's hope. There are people who are doing the deal, and their lives are better. So you can believe that there's a power that's greater than you that can help you, because it helped me, and it helped Mark, and it helped Mike, and it helped Dino, and Harold, and all the people in this room. And so that's a powerful, where's to give you, if you're new, the belief that you can do this. And we don't tell you what God is or what's going to happen. We just tell you, believe that there's a power greater than you that can help you. And that's very good, because if you're trying to push a parked car, it's not going to go. But we're telling you, we'll give you a power that will move that car. And you may think it's not possible, but do the deal and tell us. And then we get to step three. And step three is a decision that I'm going to need help with my life, and I'm going to seek the help. I'm going to seek God to help me and direct my life. And we decide in step three that we're going to stop playing God. Now, why do we need to do that? It doesn't work. It doesn't work to play God because we're not God. And so we were like crazy people, running the world all day playing God. If people took movies of our heads, we would be locked up. But we thought it was okay. I mean, it was fine. It made sense to me and others, but it was insane. And I kept getting in more conflict, and things kept getting worse, and relationships and everything. So we're going to stop playing God. But that won't change my personality. I haven't done anything yet except made a decision. So then it says step four is the first step that gives us a change. Step four is not complicated. We look at our thinking and how our thinking separated us from God and prevented God from running our lives. And we look at our anger and our fear and our relationship conduct. It's not complicated. We're going to go through it in the next weeks at this meeting. Step five is where you get the change, because you put all this information together and you admit to yourself, another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs. Your wrong was your wrong thinking, your resentment, your fear, your conduct. The exact nature of your wrongs is this card. It's everything on the left-hand side. See, this is what I practiced, and I believe that this was normal to be angry and dishonest and inconsiderate all day long. And these character defects will block me from God, and nothing will change. So I have to learn how to change and be on the right-hand side. And I'm willing to do that now, because I've looked at the steps in four and five and seen how I made a mess of my life. Anybody come in here and have a list of all the people that ruined their lives? Yeah, and then you come in here and it's just one person, and it was me. And we're telling you, if you're new, fire yourself. Fire yourself unconditionally. And then try to be a different person. And what we learn is it's not complicated. We want to be the person God created, not the person I create when I run the show. And then 6 and 7 is how we change, and 8 and 9 is how we make amends to the world, and step 10 is a daily practicing of all the steps. So it says as we repractice these action steps through step 10 over and over, we continue to grow. So the more you do step 10, you're quicker to see, oh, I'm judging somebody. That's wrong. I don't want to do that. It's stupid. God, change the way I see it. Make me considerate and loving. Within 10 seconds, you can change the way you are. You're getting angry. God, I don't want to be angry. It is what it is. Help me see it differently. Give me love and tolerance. If you do that, it works. And the more you practice that, you begin to judge. You just stop, because you don't have to go through all that rigmarole. And you say, I'm angry. I'm wrong. I don't want to be angry now. Change the way I feel. So if you're new, we learn how to practice a different way of reacting to the world. It says we ask God to remove the character defects in 6 and 7, and these defects become fewer and fewer. I think that's incorrect. I don't think my defects are fewer and fewer. I think I give them less power. They're always there, but I don't give them power. I don't have to react to it. Listen, I still got all this. I don't know about you. You're never going to get rid of this. This is like in Romans 3 and 5. This is us. But we don't have to be in bondage to this anymore. We can be this person. And so we learn, we say, I don't want to be in bondage to selfishness. I'm going to stop right now and be interested in others. And so the defects never change, but I give them less power. At least that's what I find when I'm doing the deal. As we make amends for harms we've done to other people, our relationships with people improve. So we see how continuous working these steps will keep us free of the things that block us from God. And I get freedom by letting go of things. I let go of these character defects, and then I'm free. I'm the only person that can make myself in bondage. I'm in bondage to me if I choose to be. I don't have to be anymore. I don't have to be lustful or angry or envious or sloth or gluttonous. I don't have to be that person anymore. I can choose to be the other person. So we say the third step prayer. Anybody ever heard of it? It says, we relieve me from the bondage of sin. No, self, excuse me. It's the same thing. I've been studying scripture, so bear with me. The bondage is self, of self and self-centeredness, and I'm in bondage to it, and I created. I don't have to do that anymore. So we say, take away my difficulties, right? So what? So I can be an example, a testimony to what God can do. So I don't want to be in bondage to my character defects anymore, and I can let go of them. God will remove them, and he'll put the opposite in my place, and then I can show other people how I've changed. and then I'll be an example of what God can do. So we should be examples of how God's changed us in our lives. And it says, once we've practiced steps 1 through 9, we have skills to develop a personal inventory. He says the word personal in step 10 suggests it's more than inventory we took of our thought process in step 4. It's a broader inventory that examines the life we live each day. Well, for me, a personal inventory is I'm inventorying my personality. Now, you don't have to believe me. You could talk to people who knew me. When I came in here, my personality was bad. I'm sure I was on a lot of resentment lists. And when I looked at it, it was ugly. And what I do in step 10 is I'm inventorying my personality minute by minute during the day whenever I'm bothered to see whether I'm back in self-centeredness or not. And so I'm looking at my thinking. My personality is my thinking. And I'm looking at my thinking all day long, and if I don't change my thinking, my actions won't change. Right, Ed?
That's right.
And so we're trying to, and we can do it better some days than others. We're not perfect. But at least we try to do it. And you won't know how to do it till you work steps 1 through 9. So I emphasize to new people, get in the book, get somebody who's gone through it, get on the site, listen to the podcast, do the deal. In a good personal inventory, the individual can see his relationship with himself, with God, and everyone and everything he interacts with. So we can see how our relationship with God during the day. How do you know when your relationship with God is not going well? You're running the show. You're pissed off at somebody. You know, you're angry. You're intolerant. Well, God's not in that picture. I'm out of order with God because I'm playing God. Anybody else do that? So I have to stop and say, stop playing God, Michael. You're screwing up. And I get back to God. I say, God, you're my director. Change the way I see it. And then when you're in conflict with God, you're in conflict with everyone you meet because you're directing their play. Right? You're running the world and you have this script for everybody in the world and they don't follow it and you get pissed off. And we don't want to do that anymore. It says you learn more each day. You learn more and more how you're reacting and you can recognize how you reacted this way before and it didn't go well. And so you don't send the email. You don't make the snide remark. You don't have to argue. You just keep your mouth shut. I wish I did that better. But we're trying. It's a work in progress. It says the more he learns about himself, the better he can interact with the world, with everything around him. So if you want your life to get better, you work the steps. And step 10 is how you work it every day so your days get better. It says throughout the big book, Bill Wilson discusses the three dimensions of life. The spiritual, our very core, which is God. The mental, the life of the mind, which is my thinking. And the physical, social world is other people. So how I relate to God, how I relate to myself, and how do I relate to other people? So he thinks of these lives as three concentric circles. You see this three dimensions of life? And so in the big book, on page 77, you don't have to turn there, it says we're trying to put our life in order. Anybody's life out of order? Anybody's life is usually very out of order when you come here. Things aren't going well, right?
Yeah.
So steps 1, 2, and 3 put myself in right relationship to God. Now, how does that work? Well, I make a decision that God's God and I'm not God, and I'm going to let God run the world. So then I'm in the right relationship with God. He's the director. I work for him. I work for God each day. Then the mental is my steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, which shows me how my mind is out of order with the world and God when I'm back in self, when I'm angry, fearful, and I'm harming people. You see, and when I'm back in my character defects. So I have to get in my right mind so I'm reacting differently. And then 8, 9 is how I react with the world, with people in it. And I do that through work, making amends and being willing to make amends. Now, if we go to the back, this last page, and Mike's going to work on my diagram, and he's going to make it good, and we'll get it, because my diagram, the page before, a lot of people made fun of. They didn't like my writing. What? Well, I kept it out of those because you guys made fun of me. So, no, no.
You've got the ones with chicken scratch.
Anyway, I'm sorry, that's on the tape. But anyway, this is really a very good diagram if you're new. And when you come into Alcoholics Anonymous, your problem is not alcohol. Your problem is that the center of your world should be God. That's the top circle. Does everybody believe that?
Yes.
But here's the problem. I've blocked God out of my life through resentment, fear, and guilt and remorse. You see that black circle? And when I've done that, I'm in self for everything I need in my social instincts. My social instincts is what I need for companionship, to feel good about myself, my pride, what I need in my sex life or relationships, what I think I need for security, my job, money, things. When I decide what I need in those areas, I'm in self. And the result is conflict. And conflict with wife, family, church, school, boss, authority, God's love, man's love, spouse, retirement. You see how it works? Now, I don't know about you, but most people come in here are in a lot of conflict. Their lives are really bad. And they can get better if you switch and work the steps and you go to the bottom circle. Now, the bottom circle is where you put God at the center of your life. And he's going to decide how I get what I need socially, security in my sex life. And when I do that, I'm in harmony with the world. It works a lot better when you do that. Now, here's the deal. You start out here, and you don't know this when you come in. So the steps show you how you block God out. In your fourth step, you look at your guilt, your fear, and your resentment. You learn how your instincts of life are out of order, and you learn a different way to live. Everybody see that? And then what you do in the 10th step is we're alcoholics, right? And so we slip into the top circle throughout the day, and we don't want to be there. So how do I know? I'm in conflict. I don't feel good. And then we have to stop and say, I want to get back in the bottom circle. I want God to be the center of my life. That's all 10 and 11 is. Do you see how it works? And if you do that, things get better. So now we'll go back to the handout. Is this helpful?
Yes.
On the top of the page, it says this outer circle that we looked at is our jobs, our money, our health, our home and families, everything we interact with. Now, here's the thing that killed me on page 132. It says most people think if I had this all together, I would be happy. Did anybody think that? Raise your hand. Anybody think that? Some people still think that. That is a delusion. That's insanity. And it says on page 61, we read it tonight, right, Scott? I lived under the delusion that I could rest satisfaction and happiness if I managed life well. Did anybody try to manage life so things would go better, right? And the more we did it, the more conflict we were in, right? And then we get angry, we get self-pity and all that. It's a delusion. So I spent my whole life trying to be okay by making everything okay out there. And I'd have a good day, it'd be good for a while, and then I'd be afraid I'd lose whatever I got that day, so the next day I wouldn't be, and it was never enough. Did anybody ever fix the world so they were okay? And so if we try to do that, the world's not going to be okay, and then we're going to be irritable, restless, and discontent. If we're alcoholic addicts, we're going to use something to change the way we feel. He says, so we in AA, we work from the inside out. See, when we do the inventory, we don't look out there to find the answer. We look in here, but we start at looking what's wrong out there. And we look at our fears, our anger, our shame and guilt, and we look at the causes, and we look back, and we see it's our character defects, and it's me. What you do in AA is you come in here, and everybody is a tree that comes in here. And the tree usually, at least for me, when it came in here, it was ugly. The branches were all withered. The fruit was terrible. And they were filled with resentment, fear, and shame, and guilt. That's with all the branches. And the trunk of the tree was filled with all my character defects, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my inconsideration, my fear. And it was rooted in this bulb. The roots were Michael. And I planted it in Michael's soil, and it was ugly. So when I did 4 and 5, I could see that tree. I said, oh, that is really bad. So they said, fine, here's what you need to do. You need to plant your soil in God. And you have to have God change your character. And then your tree will have good fruit. There's some scripture for that, right, Kate? And that's what they're talking about. How do you look? It's based on who you're putting your roots in. And the roots of me when I came in here was Michael. And it needs to be God. Now, step 10 is where you look at all day, where you're taking your tree and you're putting it in the wrong roots. So if you have a bad day, it's because you're in the wrong soil. And you want to be in the God soil. And step 10 is where you learn spiritual ways to move from one soil to the other. So the tree doesn't have to stay planted in the wrong soil. I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense to me. It says, when we come into the program, our lives are not God-centered, they're self-centered. So we have self rather than God at the core of our lives. What does it say is the root of our trouble? It doesn't say alcohol, does it? What does it say? Selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of my troubles. That's the root of everything that's wrong in my life. Now, if you'd asked me that when I came in, I would have given you 10 people that made my life miserable. And I would have believed it. And in fact, if you would have let me, I would have spent hours describing how bad it was. But you see, it was me. I made decisions based on self that caused me harm, remember? And so we have self rather than God at the corner of our lives. And having self at our core messes up our thinking and our relationships with other people. So what you learn when you come in here is that the problems you had were all the result of you and the way you acted and the way you thought. And we're going to put our lives back in order and in proper order, and that's what we're doing with the steps. And on page 77, we're in amends in the big book, and it says, we are trying to put our lives in order. Anybody think that's a good idea? And how do we put our lives in order? We already talked about it. With God, steps 1, 2, and 3, right? 4, 5, 6, and 7 with our mind, 8, 9 with the world. But here's what they say. What is our real purpose? The real purpose of being in AA.
Maximum service to God.
Here's the exact words. I think he's right, but I get it confused. Our real purpose, here it is to fit myself to be of maximal service to God and others. It's to fit myself to be of service. And I fit myself through the steps. And step 10 is how I stay in fit spiritual condition. Now, how do we get fit? We pray, we inventory, and we meditate on how God wants us to be. So, I think, here, I'll finish with this and then we'll open it up. It says, this is the miracle of AA. You could take something as complicated as a human life misused. Anybody misuse their life? And with 9 simple steps, put it all back together the way it was meant to be. It's a design for living that works. Now, I want to give you a hint. If you come in here and you have a plan, get rid of it. Get rid of your plan. It won't work. We'll tell you ahead of time. You need to try this. That's all AA is saying. Now, I can't say that your plan won't work, but if it hasn't worked up till now, you might want to try. And AA says, we have a different plan for living. Try this and then tell us if it works. AA doesn't tell you what to do. It tells you if you have no other options, do this and try this experiment and see if your life doesn't get better. Now I can say for me it absolutely has, and other people can in this room. So we'll open up now. We have some time and people can share about how the 10th step has worked in their lives, how they're using this information each day to have a better life. Thank you, everybody.